Imagine a critical national infrastructure facility where an AI doesn't just, flag a security flaw on some dashboard.
Right, doesn't just alert you.
Exactly. Instead, it autonomously rewrites the core software, tests that new code in a sandbox, and then deploys the patch across the entire national grid. And all of this happens before a human engineer even finishes their morning coffee.
Which sounds completely like a science fiction scenario, I know.
Yeah, but it's not.
What?
That is the reality outlined in the June 4th, 2026 intelligence briefing that is sitting on your desk right now. Because when you're the one responsible for keeping the lights on, the water flowing, and the data secure across the UK, handing the steering wheel over to an autonomous agent is, well, it's a terrifying prospect.
Oh, absolutely. But the shift is already happening, whether we like it or not.
Right, we're officially moving away from AI, just acting as like cruise control on the motorway.
Yeah.
The systems are now basically demanding to drive the car.
And that transition, that is the fundamental core of today's deep dive. We are looking at a permanent pivot from those static assistive AI tools.
You mean like the familiar chatbots that, draft emails or maybe suggest a single line of code?
Exactly, yeah. We are moving from those to dynamic, autonomous agents that are capable of managing entire software life cycles. And for anyone overseeing critical national infrastructure or CNI, the implications of that autonomy fundamentally alter the security architecture you've relied on for, well, the past decade.
Yeah, so let's unpack the mechanics of that shift, starting with the capability leap itself. The intelligence materials we have point to a massive surge in what they're calling agentic workflow automation.
Right, agentic workflows, it's a key term.
Yeah, and this isn't just an AI responding to a single prompt anymore. Commercial firms are actively redesigning their entire software delivery pipelines around AI that can, maintain state, formulate multi-step plans, and then actually execute them.
Tools built on these enterprise architectures are effectively being given the keys to automate incredibly complex, deeply embedded enterprise functions.
So, the underlying mechanism here is crucial to understand, right? Like, an assistive tool requires constant human prompting to move from step A to step B.
Yeah, you have to hold its hand. But an agentic workflow is given a terminal objective. You literally just tell the system, optimize the data routing for this network node.
And then it just figures it out.
Exactly. The agent autonomously breaks that big objective down. It investigates the current routing, it writes the optimization scripts, it tests them against historical data, and it prepares the deployment.
Wow.
Firms like Endava are leveraging these agents not just for speed, but to handle the kind of cognitive load that previously required like a whole team of senior engineers.
And the speed is really where the operational reality gets complicated for you as a defender. Because let's look at the edge computing examples in the briefing.
Oh, yeah, the edge computing stuff is wild.
It is. We are seeing platforms like Wasmer utilizing these advanced models to compile specialized runtimes like Node.js, specifically for constrained edge devices.
So we're talking about what, remote sensors on a water pipeline?
Exactly. Or automated relays in a power grid.
Yeah.
And they are shrinking the development cycles for these highly specialized environments from several months down to just a few weeks.
Which sounds great for efficiency, but this is exactly where the traditional security model just completely breaks down.
Right. If an enterprise is pumping out custom edge runtimes in 2 weeks, manual code review is, I mean, it's physically impossible at that scale.
It is.
How does a CNI operator practically sign off on millions of lines of machine-generated code that's going to run on a remote, physically vulnerable valve?
The stark reality is that human verification becomes the bottleneck. And these agentic workflows are explicitly designed to bypass that bottleneck. You cannot manually review it all.
So what happens instead?
What happens is an exponential expansion of your attack surface due to obscured code provenance.
Obscured provenance. Break that down a bit.
Well, if you don't have absolute visibility into the training data the agent used or, the specific logical weights it applied to generate that runtime, you are essentially deploying a black box into a critical environment.
And edge computing is already notoriously difficult to secure, right? Because these devices are physically distributed. They're often sitting in metal cabinets out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, with very limited processing power for heavy security protocols.
Which means the AI-generated code itself has to be absolutely flawless from the start.
Right, but beyond just the coding aspect, we have to look at how these agents are integrating into specialized domains. The intelligence materials highlight life sciences, specifically the deployment of tools like GPT Rosalind.
Yeah, Rosalind. Now, the briefing calls it a co-researcher, not a coding assistant.
A co-researcher in medicinal chemistry and genomics, exactly.
I want to dig into that term, co-researcher. What is Rosalind actually doing under the hood to earn that title? I mean, it's not just summarizing medical journals, right?
Oh, far from it. It is performing highly complex biological reasoning. It ingests massive data sets of molecular structures, runs these huge predictive simulations on protein folding, and synthesizes decades of chemical literature.
To do what exactly?
To autonomously propose novel compounds. Or to identify genetic anomalies. It is navigating unstructured, highly technical data and drawing completely original conclusions.
Okay, if an AI is operating at that level of cognitive autonomy within, say, a highly sensitive government lab, the data security challenge is just astronomical.
It's a completely different paradigm.
Yeah, because we're not just worried about someone breaking in and stealing the data anymore. If Rosalind is acting as a co-researcher, an adversary doesn't necessarily need to exfiltrate your proprietary genomics data. They just need to execute model poisoning.
And that is the far more insidious threat. Model poisoning involves an attacker subtly manipulating the training data or even the real-time inputs.
So they're not trying to crash the system.
No, the goal isn't to break the model so it throws an error. The goal is to alter its internal logic so it makes a highly specific, very quiet error.
Oh, wow. So imagine an attacker subtly tweaking the weights so that Rosalind consistently miscalculates the stability of, like, a specific chemical compound.
Or it just completely ignores a specific pathogenic marker that it should have flagged.
So the AI continues to function normally, like 99% of the time, providing this full sense of security while actively compromising the 1% of research that the adversary actually targets.
Exactly. And because the reasoning of the model is so opaque, tracing that subtle manipulation back to its source is incredibly difficult. I mean, it demands a complete overhaul of your access controls and data segregation.
And this capability, the ability to synthesize data, to plan and execute multi-step logic, that is exactly what makes the security implications so severe across the board. Because adversaries aren't just observing these commercial advancements, right?
No, they are weaponizing the exact same agentic architectures.
The intelligence briefing is very clear that we are looking at an automated machine speed arms race.
The dual-use nature of AI is fully realized in cyber operations today. It's happening right now. While defenders are utilizing autonomous agents to monitor network logs and patch vulnerabilities, adversaries are using equivalent models.
To do what? Automate discovery.
Yes. To completely automate the discovery of zero-day exploits, they are deploying agents that can autonomously probe a network, identify a totally novel vulnerability, and write a custom exploit before a security vendor has even registered the anomaly.
That fundamentally changes the nature of malware. The briefing points to this acceleration of polymorphic threats. Now, I know polymorphic malware isn't entirely new, but the integration of generative AI just supercharges it.
It really does.
Think of it like a physical lock on a door where the internal tumblers change their shape every single time a key is inserted. A traditional signature-based antivirus is just a static key. It's completely useless the second the lock changes.
That lock and tumbler analogy illustrates the problem perfectly.
Right. So to defend against AI-driven polymorphism, you need a defensive AI that can dynamically analyze the behavior of the lock and forge a brand new key in real time, completely autonomously.
Yeah, you simply cannot rely on static perimeters anymore. And this is exactly why security research has aggressively pivoted toward what they call model red teaming.
Model red teaming.
We are no longer talking about basic prompt injection. You know, the kind of parlor tricks where someone convinces a customer service chatbot to use a swear word.
Right.
Model red teaming for autonomous agents is a highly systematic adversarial optimization process.
Walk us through the mechanics of that. What does an adversarial optimization process actually look like when you're targeting an enterprise agent?
Well, red teams use secondary AI models to generate thousands of complex layered inputs. And these are designed to mathematically bypass the target model's safety fine-tuning.
So it's AI finding AI to find a loophole.
Basically, yes. They are looking for the precise sequence of tokens that causes the agent's internal guardrails to just completely collapse. The objective is often to extract the underlying proprietary training data, which is referred to as model inversion.
Or to force the agent to execute malicious code within the enterprise environment it already has access to.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the operational reality of zero-trust architecture. I mean, we all know the foundational principles of zero trust, right? Never trust, always verify, assume the network is already compromised.
Standard practice.
But how do you practically implement zero trust when the asset you're trying to verify is a black box AI. You can't exactly verify the internal logic of a neural network that has billions of parameters.
You can't. The application of zero trust has to shift. It has to move from the network perimeter to the model's inputs and outputs. You basically have to assume the AI itself is a compromised actor from day one.
So how does that look practically?
Practically, this means you never allow an agentic workflow to execute a critical function directly. Ever. The AI's output, whether it's a new piece of edge computing code or a command to alter a cooling system, must be routed through a deterministic secondary system.
A deterministic system, meaning it's not another AI.
Right. It uses rigid, hard-coded logic to validate the action against strict operational parameters before execution is actually permitted.
Okay, so the technology is moving at machine speed, and the adversaries are obviously keeping pace. This makes the slow, inherently messy reality of government regulation even more jarring when it inevitably lands on your procurement desk.
Oh, absolutely.
Navigating the collision of these differing governance frameworks is a major focus of the intelligence briefing.
It is a massive source of operational friction. Regulators globally are trying to establish accountability for systems that act autonomously, but the philosophies driving these regulations are fundamentally divergent.
Especially when you compare the UK's domestic strategy with the European Union's approach.
Exactly. They are coming at it from two very different angles.
Let's break down the UK stance first.
Yeah.
The intelligence describes the UK approach as deliberately agile, sector-specific, and principles-based.
Right.
So instead of creating a massive centralized AI regulatory body that tries to govern everything from healthcare AI to self-driving cars, the government is delegating authority. For CNI, that means leaning on existing regulators. You have Ofgem overseeing the energy grid and Ofwat overseeing the water supply.
And the rationale there is deeply rooted in operational context. A centralized technology regulator, you know, they understand algorithms, but they do not understand the intricate load balancing requirements of the national power grid.
Or the acceptable pressure tolerances of a municipal water network.
Exactly. By empowering Ofgem and Ofwat, the UK is focusing on outcomes. The regulator's primary concern isn't necessarily the architecture of the neural network itself.
So what do they care about?
Their concern is whether the AI compromises the resilience and safety of the infrastructure it operates within. It establishes clear, domain-specific accountability.
That makes a lot of logical sense domestically. But here is the jurisdictional nightmare for a UK operator trying to secure their supply chain. Because right across the channel, you have the EU AI Act.
Which is a whole different beast.
Yeah, it relies on a rigid, centralized, risk-based tier system. Systems are categorized as unacceptable, high, limited, or minimal risk. And anything integrated into critical infrastructure is immediately classified as high risk.
Automatic.
And that classification triggers immense compliance burdens, right? Mandatory conformity assessments, continuous risk management systems, and these stringent transparency requirements regarding the model's actual training data.
Yeah, the friction occurs because the commercial reality of software development just doesn't respect geographical borders.
Right.
When a major tech firm builds an enterprise-grade AI system capable of managing, say, power grid analytics, they do not build a bespoke, deregulated version just for the UK market. It's not financially viable.
So they build the system to comply with the strictest regulatory environment they want to sell into.
Precisely. The EU AI Act effectively functions as a global baseline.
So the UK operator inherits the EU compliance framework by default, simply through the supply chain. If I'm buying a third-party model to optimize my UK facility, I am still effectively bound by the EU's transparency mandates.
Inherit is exactly the correct word. And this is why the intelligence materials advise UK leaders to aggressively monitor EU developments, regardless of how agile the domestic posture is.
It's because it trickles down.
Completely. If a vendor alters the underlying architecture of their model to comply with a new EU transparency mandate, that alteration directly impacts the performance, the security posture, and the vulnerability profile of that model running inside your UK infrastructure.
You cannot isolate your procurement from the global regulatory baseline.
You really can't.
But legal frameworks and supply chain compliance, you know, they only get you so far. At 200 AM, when an edge node is failing and the AI is autonomously rewriting the routing protocols, The legal liability is secondary to the physical reality of just keeping the system online.
Keeping the lights on, literally.
Right. So the final and arguably most crucial piece of this intelligence puzzle is how organizations operationalize trust when the human is no longer doing the actual work.
And this requires a massive shift from theoretical policy to concrete engineering practices. The core concept the intelligence emphasizes for immediate integration is what they call AI provenance.
AI provenance. We touched on obscured provenance earlier with the edge runtimes. How do we practically enforce it? Are we talking about like a software bill of materials, but for neural networks?
That is actually an excellent way to conceptualize it. AI provenance requires a verifiable cryptographic record of the model's entire history.
It's a ledger, basically.
Yeah, a complete ledger detailing exactly what data sets were used to train the model, the precise state of its weights and parameters at the time of deployment, and a strict audit trail of any fine-tuning or modifications made by the vendors.
So for government and CNI, the era of procuring a black box and just hoping it works is over.
Completely over. If a vendor cannot provide an auditable supply chain for the model's intelligence, the system is fundamentally unfit for critical infrastructure, period.
But let's look at the human element of this, because that's where it gets really tricky.
Yeah.
Let's say you have perfect provenance. You know exactly how the model was trained, and it has a flawless operational record. The briefing highlights a severe psychological vulnerability that emerges precisely when the technology works well. Automation complacency.
Oh, this is a huge issue.
Yeah, as commercial labs push these always-on agents that promise to handle everything flawlessly, the human operators naturally begin to atrophy. They just lean back.
Right, because automation complacency is one of the most well-documented flaws in human-machine interaction.
I mean, we've seen it with autopilot in planes, right?
Exactly. If an AI agent operates a system perfectly 99% of the time, the human brain is simply not wired to maintain high alert vigilance for the 1% of the time it produces an anomaly.
We just get bored and zone out.
Yes. The systemic risk to CNI isn't just that the AI might make a mistake. It is that the human operator will over-rely on the agent's output and completely miss a catastrophic failure unfolding right in front of them.
It's the classic GPS effect. You know, you read those stories about drivers who blindly follow their navigation system straight into a lake. They have a massive windshield showing them actual water. But the screen says, go straight. So they just stop processing the physical reality of the road.
But in this context, the lake is a critical failure in a national power grid or the shutdown of a municipal water treatment facility.
Right. The stakes are exponentially higher, which means the operational solution must be hard-coded into the architecture itself. You cannot simply advise your operators to, you know, pay close attention.
No, training isn't enough. The governance model must define absolute, immutable boundaries for the AI's authority.
Meaning hard human-in-the-loop checkpoints.
Exactly. For any high-impact decision, say, deploying a massive code update generated by an agent or authorizing a physical change to infrastructure routing the system, architecture must halt. It has to force a human engineer to review the context and cryptographically authorize the action.
And the briefing says this is the only way to mitigate the risk of unchecked operational drift.
Yes, operational drift.
Break down operational drift in this context for us, because that term sounds kind of deceptive. It implies something slow and harmless rather than an immediate crash.
It is slow, but it's definitely not harmless. Oh. Operational drift occurs when an autonomous agent is tasked with continuously optimizing a system over time.
Okay.
So say it is managing the cooling systems for a data center. Every single day, it autonomously adjusts the parameters, maybe shaving off a fraction of a degree, tightening the efficiency.
Doing its job.
Doing its job perfectly. But because it's a black box, the human operators don't notice the micro adjustments. Slowly, over months, the AI drifts the entire system's operating baseline so far from its original safety tolerances that a minor external shock, like just a brief power surge, causes the pipes to freeze and the entire facility to go offline.
Wow. So the drift is completely silent until it becomes catastrophic.
Exactly.
Let's try to bring all these complex threads together. For you, the cyber leader navigating this intelligence, the reality is that the shift to agentic AI is not something you can just opt out of.
No, the ship has sailed.
The operational efficiency it brings to government and critical national infrastructure is simply too massive to ignore. You have AI agents capable of building edge runtimes in weeks, and systems like Rosalind acting as highly capable co-researchers in life sciences.
But that immense capability is exactly why you must adopt a rigorous zero-trust posture for the models themselves.
Right, because your adversaries are leveraging the exact same autonomous architectures to discover zero-day vulnerabilities and forge polymorphic malware.
Which means you have to implement continuous model red teaming to stress test the internal guardrails of your systems.
And strategically, you're kind of caught in a regulatory crossfire. You have to balance the agile, outcome-focused regulations of domestic bodies like OFWAT and OVJAM, while simultaneously recognizing that the EU AI Act is basically dictating the compliance and transparency baselines of the global supply chain you rely on.
And operationally, you mitigate these risks by demanding absolute AI provenance from your vendors. You must know the digital DNA of the intelligence you are embedding into your infrastructure.
And most importantly, you have to engineer against automation complacency by embedding hard human checkpoints to prevent that operational drift.
Exactly.
As we conclude our analysis of the June 4th briefing, we want to leave you with a final thought to consider. And it builds on that very danger of unchecked drift. Think back to our opening scenario of the AI taking the steering wheel.
It's a sobering thought.
It is. As we rapidly approach an era of always-on agents designing our workflows, optimizing our infrastructure, and writing our code, consider this. If one AI agent builds your edge runtime, and a second AI is deployed to defend it from polymorphic threats, and then a third AI is autonomously monitoring the system logs for anomalies.
Where does the human fit in?
At what point does the human operator stop being the driver of critical national infrastructure and simply become a passenger waiting for a check engine light that an AI decided not to show them?
Maintaining human authority in an ecosystem of autonomous machines is, without a doubt, the defining security challenge of the next decade.
The steering wheel is slipping, but it's not gone yet. Thank you for bringing this crucial intelligence briefing to the table today. Keep questioning the boundaries of AI authority in your infrastructure, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.